This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
It's Tuesday, so that means one thing. We're going to talk a little growth. We're going to talk a little development with the good folks from Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at cvilletomorrow.org. Brian Wheeler usually joins us at this time, but he is unavailable. So we are honored to welcome live into the studio Sean Tubbs and Julia Glendenning from Charlottesville Tomorrow. How are you both doing? It's good to see you. Welcome to the program.
Doing pretty well, Coy. Good to see you again.
Yes. Good, thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. So before we meet Julia Glendenning, which is the intern for Charlottesville Tomorrow this summer, Sean Tubbs, remind us, you and Brian work together at Charlottesville Tomorrow, but you are also the man that brought podcasting to Charlottesville. Not many people know that.
That's correct.
You were ahead of the curve.
It's been about 4.5 years now. I started the site about 4.5 years ago. Trained Brian on how to do podcasts. He came to one of the first sessions that I had. 2 years later, he gave me a job. So
there you go.
So that worked out.
And of
well.
Course, the site is charlottesvillepodcast.com, the Charlottesville Podcasting Network.
Yep. cvillepodcast.com.
Cvillepodcast. And all of my interviews, in fact, as a matter of fact, the entire archive of this program is on that website.
A good chunk. We have shows going back to 2006, I believe.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And even some of those old shows still get comments, so people are still finding them through Google. So it's exactly, it's the idea of having an archive for all of this material so that it can be there for people to use and to know about and just to better know their community. And it's very similar to what we do at Charlottesville Tomorrow as well.
Good deal. Now, you and Brian and Julia are the ones who go to all these meetings, the planning commission, the school board. Well, not the school board. Don't cover school board.
Not the school board.
Planning commission, board of supervisors, city council, city planning commission. All these meetings, the debates for the candidates, folks running for local office, all this stuff. Do you have like a favorite and a least favorite? Like when it comes to like it's the top of the week or top of the month when you and Brian are sitting in the conference room and you're deciding, okay, who's going to cover what?
Yeah.
Do you have like a favorite, like, oh, let me go cover the so-and-so, and do you have like a least favorite, like, oh, God, I don't want to go to that meeting?
I'm not so sure I could say that and remain the neutral and nonpartisan person that I am, but I would say that I tend to favor issues that deal with transportation. So I like the obscure MPO, the Metropolitan Policy Organization.
Yeah, yeah.
An organization that I had never even heard of before I'd joined Charlottesville Tomorrow.
But very influential. They make a lot of decisions.
Very influential. There's a lot of decisions that get made there. But more importantly, there's a lot of debates that happen between the city and the county. So a lot of the long-term policy gets set there. And I do enjoy just being there and being able to kind of sift through what they're talking about and present to people. You know, to sift through these two-hour meetings to get together a news story that people can, you know, who are interested in transportation planning,
and let's be honest,
can know about
the
it.
Most local reporters don't cover those meetings. So you guys break a lot of news in some of these obscure meetings that you're willing to go to.
Yes, and of course, you know, we've got different places where we break news. We've recently started posting small 140-character things on Twitter.
Twitter.
Everybody's on Twitter these days. And so it's another place where even if we're not going to necessarily do the story, it gives us a chance to get that out there. And then what often happens is someone else will pick up on it, actually do the story. And so we've still satisfied our role as bringing
getting
people
the story out there. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
So people can sign up for your Twittering? Your tweets?
At twitter.com/CVilleTomorrow. We actually just launched a second Twitter account today for our Civilpedia account. I think you and Brian have talked about that before, but this is another way for people who would
like to
get
Wikipedia involved. For Charlottesville.
Yep, and we've got just close to 800 articles, including one for Coy Barefoot.
Wow!
Yeah.
And nobody cares about that.
Well, I'm not so sure.
You should delete that. Nobody cares about that.
Well, I mean, but the great thing is you've done so much in this community, and of course
we can
track you and trace you.
No, people don't tune in here to listen to me, that's for sure. So civilpedia.org is the website.
Civilpedia.org is the website.
Anybody can go in there and write articles and edit articles and contribute to this growing encyclopedia.
Exactly.
This online encyclopedia about our community.
And importantly, too, it's anybody who would like to learn how to use the software. As you know, Wikipedia has sort of changed how people use information and process information and add to information. The cool thing about what we do is we use the same software. And on August 15th at 11 o'clock in the morning, I'll be giving a seminar to people to how they can learn how to use our site. Because it might be intimidating to people at first, but once you spend about 20 minutes learning how the interface works, you can add as much as you want. What we really want is for people in the community to tell us their version of history. Add to this community resource so we can better know who we are.
Now, I think your workshop on the 15th is really needed, because I'm one of those. I've created a Wikipedia page before, and it's not easy. I mean, it's not completely intuitive, turnkey. You really sort of have to know the language of Wikipedia. But once you get that, then it is easy. But it's not. You have to spend some time figuring it out. And with, like anything else, it would help to have somebody standing there saying, "Okay, do this and don't do that."
Exactly. And since we launched the site publicly in April, we have this one volunteer who knows a lot more than either Brian or I know about how this stuff works. And he has just set up this entire navigational system behind the scenes that we're still trying to catch up to understand exactly how it works. And Julia here had never, ever worked on any of this stuff, and she's become an expert as well in the past.
Julia Glendening, of course, is the Charlottesville Tomorrow intern for the summer of 2009, and she joins us live in studio on Charlottesville right now. Where are you from?
I'm from McLean, Virginia.
There you go. And how old are you? You're a student at UVA, is that right?
Yep, I'm 20. I'm going to be a fourth year at UVA.
Congratulations.
So one more year, yep.
Yeah, the spring of 2010 will be here before you know it.
I know, that's either a good thing or a bad thing.
So what do you have planned? Do you want to, is it grad school or what?
I'll probably work for a year, do something. I'm an environmental science major, so hopefully go into that field.
What does that mean exactly? Because that's a real popular degree now.
Definitely,
but what exactly is it? Like weather or, I mean?
You can do a lot of different things. I did weather last year, ecology, geology. There's so many different fields that you can go into that's why I think I'll have a good chance maybe getting a
job.
It's
like the new English. Mm-hmm. You know, it used to be you wanted to do anything, you just majored in English. You could go to med school, you could go to law school, you could do pretty much anything. Now I guess it's environmental science.
Yeah, you can go to law school for that, environmental law and everything.
Yeah, so. Good deal.
Yeah.
So why Charlottesville Tomorrow? How'd you get mixed up with these guys?
I was talking to Sean about this the other day. I just found them on Google, Googled environmental science companies and checked them out. And it was like Sean said, I kind of just fell into their laps. I don't know, just was interested in what they were doing around Charlottesville.
Yeah. So have you learned? They're very high tech, these guys. Have
Definitely.
You learned all
I had never worked with these programs before, so it was a steep learning curve, but I think I got it.
So they have you all, because Sean, y'all do it all. You edit, you record and edit and post audio, video online, which actually, I mean, I've done both of that as well. But you were one of the people that helped me to learn this stuff. It's actually not that difficult. I mean, did you find that to be the case?
No, I didn't think it was very difficult at all. Once you do it once, I guess.
Then yeah. I mean, once you learn the programs,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's pretty cool to be able to podcast and put up video, and more and more people are learning how to do this stuff.
And if you think about it, like, let's say 10 years ago, people were still learning how to use word processors. It's the same thing. People are using video and audio today like they would have used word processors in the late 90s or so.
Yeah.
You know, it's all part of building this new interface we have, I guess.
I can remember when I was at William & Mary in the 80s, they had WordPerfect, and they only had it in this one room at the library, and the computers were always packed. And I never even went in the room. I just remember looking in the window one day thinking, oh, yeah, that's where all those computers are. That's where you can, because I had an electric typewriter back in my room. And that's what I used. That's what I went to college with. But I had to quickly learn how to use WordPerfect when I got to grad school, because I realized, oh, my gosh, I'm going to be writing a lot more papers than I did in college. Anyway, we're talking with Charlottesville Tomorrow, Sean Tubbs, and Julia Glendening. And Julia, you have an update for us regarding pie, is that right?
Yes, I know you like pie. I've heard
I do. As a matter of fact, I forgot. I just remember this. Brian dropped off at my house. As a matter of fact, he left it on the doorstep. Two versions of what's it called? Mudfly pie?
Shoe fly pie?
It's mud bottom something like that. We'll get it when he's back in here. But it was delicious. He said he got it from Pennsylvania. It was good stuff.
He just left it for you on your doorstep.
Left it on my doorstep with a little note. One pie guy to another pie guy.
But so yeah, Pie Fest is scheduled for October 3rd. So that's a Saturday.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And there's no football game. I know. I'm already planning on going. So.
Good deal. So Saturday, October 3rd. And this is in Crozet, right?
At the Crozet Mud House, yes.
And the Crozet Mud House.
It's the second Seville. Well, it's the extension of Seville Pie Down. It's the second Seville Pie Down. They're calling it Seville Pie Fest.
This is the Pie Down come of age, like grown up into an official annual event, and it's the Pie Fest, the Charlottesville Pie Fest. Mm-hmm. And is it in their website?
I believe it is SevillePieFest.com. I'm not entirely sure of that, but I believe I know that you can search. If you search for Seville Pie Fest in Google, you're going to find it.
And people are just going to show up with their pies that they make.
and have them be judged.
And then we're going to, I'm one of the judges. Brian's one of the judges. I'm sure there'll be other judges.
David Toscano was one of the judges who was announced this week.
Oh, cool, cool. And we'll just eat it and pick the best one that we like.
Yeah.
Good deal.
I'll just be photographing
them. And I'm already hungry.
No pies for me.
So awesome. So the Seaville Pie Fest, you're not going to want to miss this, folks. It's going to be packed. It's going to be insane. Oh, man. Oh, it's going to be crazy. Just absolutely crazy. Lots of pie, lots of sugar. A confectionery Saturday afternoon in Crozet on October 3rd. Don't miss it. Now, before we go to a break here at the bottom of the hour, this is a slow week, right?
This is a slow week. We've only got, we've got three potential meetings that we would cover this week. And the big one is the Board of Supervisors tomorrow. There's a lot on the agenda for them. At least two public hearings that could get kind of heated. So we'll see what happens.
And
with
what
those.
Are those?
One is an ordinance to tighten up the county's water protection ordinance to limit, to require developers to place vegetation on their properties after they've graded them. So say, for instance, I believe the ordinance calls for 9 months. The idea there is that that would slow off the sediment that would then wash off in a rainstorm.
Let's talk about that when we get back in detail. Mm-hmm. And the other thing on the agenda for tomorrow?
Is on whether or not the county should institute a system of photo red radar. That's where they would install cameras, you run the red light, you would get the ticket in the mail. Type thing.
I bet a lot of people will turn out for that.
A lot of people, I'm predicting, will turn out for
it
that.
It sounds like a new moneymaker for the county, you think?
Could be. It certainly is something.
For a county that needs money.
Yes, and they would have to put some money up front. I believe it's one of those services where there's an existing contractor out there and they would pay a certain amount and get a percentage back. But we'll know more of the details tomorrow.
There you go. Sean Tubbs and Julia Glendenning with Charlottesville tomorrow. They join us every Tuesday afternoon to keep us updated and debriefed about the growth and development topics here in Central Virginia. I'm Coy Barefoot. A break here for local news and weather. We'll continue this conversation on the other side. This is Charlottesville Right Now.
You're listening to My Daddy on News Radio 1070 WINA Charlottesville. Right now!
Right now!
Right now!
Right now!
Right now! Right now!
It's 41 minutes past 5 o'clock, 19 before 6. This is Charlottesville Right Now. It's News Radio 1070 WINA. I'm Coy Barefoot. Hope you're having a great Tuesday. It's about 87 degrees. We're talking growth and development, the latest on water and zoning in Places 29 with the good folks from Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at seavilletomorrow.org. Y'all got a kick-ass website, by the way.
Why, thank you.
And I know my websites, young man, and yours is mighty good. I enjoy, you've got so much stuff there. I mean, you're constantly posting stuff to that. Just really interesting, thoughtful articles. And I'll tell you, it's getting harder and harder to find really interesting, thoughtful articles by local reporters from the Daily Press. You know, you can still find it in the Weekly Press because those people have been around a while. They have some institutional memory, but it's getting really hard from the Progress to find those kind of articles from people who really know what's going on, you know?
Well, I can't speak to the Daily Progress, but I can certainly say that in our case, you know, it's what we're here to do. We are funded to provide in-depth reports on infrastructure and infrastructure planning, transportation, the water supply, all towards the hope of just giving people information that's out there, trying to get people to the table so that they attend some of these meetings and all of that.
And of course, and get involved.
And to get involved, because that's what we'd like. No matter what your opinion is, we think you should be there at the table.
Sean Tubbs is with Charlottesville Tomorrow. Brian is on sabbatical this week. And we're also joined live in studio by Julia Glendenning of McLean. She's a rising fourth-year student at the University of Virginia, Mr. Jefferson's University, and she was the summer intern. I'm curious, tell me about what it's like to be a university student and be in that bubble, really, because it's a beautiful bubble, but you're in a bubble when it comes to being really aware of a lot of the issues going on in Charlottesville, especially the stuff we talk about here all the time, these local issues. What's it like to get this crash course all summer about the Meadow Creek Parkway and dredging and the water issue and 29 North and all of this stuff?
Well, it's interesting. I definitely became more aware of that bubble because I knew nothing about local issues. And then coming to this job, I would say, oh, what's this Meadow Creek Parkway? And Sean would just have to give me a crash course on it, basically.
Here's the 40-year history. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, yep. And just as I'm doing research for articles, I've learned so much. And as I'm telling my friends about these issues that I'm covering, oh, I'm going to a dredging meeting tonight. And they just have no idea what I'm talking about.
Dredging,
and,
is that a band?
Yeah.
Do they have free kegs? What is this?
Yep. So it's been very eye-opening this summer to look into the local government.
Yeah. Well, would that all the university students took an interest in, mm-hmm. an active, proactive interest that you have taken to really learn.
Yeah, a large voice.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Sean, update us. What's the latest on water? Let's talk a little water.
Well, the big news this week, and it's actually will be announced tomorrow at 2 o'clock, Wednesday at 2 o'clock at the Albemarle County Service Authority. Yesterday, a special committee put together, made up of employees of the RWSA, Albemarle, and utilities officials in the city and the county, as well as a couple of citizen representatives from Charlottesville. This is the committee that's reviewing proposals for the dredging feasibility study to come up with a plan and potentially a cost estimate for various studies of what we would need to know if we were to decide, if the community were to decide to do a full restorative dredging of the South Fork Rivanna Reservoir. So there were two firms yesterday that that made their presentations. One was a very large firm. One was a slightly smaller firm that had ties to the reservoir itself. We don't know exactly. We don't know which candidate they're going to pick. They went into executive. This committee went into executive session, and we'll see what they come up with at 2 o'clock. Now that will that. Whatever the recommendation is will be forwarded on to the RWSA board for their ultimate decision. But it's one more step in getting all the information.
So over a year ago, the city said, we want to dredge. Let's put out an RFP. And the county said, no, we don't want to dredge. We want to build a big new reservoir. And so let's have a dredging task force to slow things down. And so we don't have that RFP. And so this task force spends months after months after months studying, well, should we dredge or should we not dredge? They issued their report, which is sort of pleasing both sides in a way and doesn't really go anywhere. And then here we are over a year later, and we're right back where we started. Well, let's look at putting out an RFP to look see what it would cost to actually dredge and what we would get. And more importantly, would that ultimately affect the kind of reservoir that we potentially would need to build at Ragged Mountain?
Yes, I think I don't think it would be fair to say that nothing has happened. There have been some incremental things since that task report came out. So, for instance, the task report came out and recommended, this is back in January, recommended selective dredging. The city council wasn't...
But not for water supply.
Not for
water
supply.
Just for, like, boating and mm-hmm. fishing. And
but the city council, and through the leadership of Dave Norris, has requested and recommended an apples-to-apples comparison between all of the potential elements of addressing the community's community water supply needs for 2055, including a full restorative dredging to restore the capacity of the South Fork Rivanna back to its original setting.
Yeah.
That option was taken off the table during the community water supply plan's formulation in 2005 and 2006.
Right.
But in the negotiations after that task force report came out, City Council insisted on getting these additional numbers because there's at least a majority of councilors who would like to see how much it really would cost because
yeah.
there's been criticism that the Gannett Fleming report of $200 million or $238 million was way too high.
And it's sound logic as far as I'm concerned because the people in the city are want to know exactly what it would cost and what it would give us because you might spend less on dredging than you might have to spend total on the new reservoir. Maybe the new reservoir doesn't have to be as big as the plan folks want it to be, you know, sans dredging.
Yes, and I think that at this point...
Sans, that's Latin, by the way.
I would say, and of course, you know, I would have to dot my I's and cross my T's, but I would say that there are other numbers that are going to come back to us, too, in the next year. Of these two, of the two finalists, I don't believe that between HDR Engineering and FX Brown Incorporated, FX Brown said that it would take them about a year to do these studies and come up with a full report.
Really? Wow.
That's about the same amount of time it's going to take. The RWSA is currently accepting bids for the new design of the Ragged Mountain Dam because, as you know, there were some issues with that. They fired Gannett Fleming as the consultant and are going back to the drawing board for that. And at that particular time, so I believe that we've got about I think that spring of 2010 is when we'll see firmer numbers on how much that will cost. And then, of course, there's the pipeline, which is another thing that will be studied in this sort of interim time when there's all this data being collected, yeah, gathered, and put together.
Because they don't even have a firm number on what the pipeline would cost, and the reservoir, the new reservoir, doesn't work without the pipeline. And they don't even really know how much that's going to cost.
Yes. Well, but there's other numbers, too. And, of course, there's also as part of the negotiations for this is the city also requested a matrix of sorts that list all the pipelines, because it's important to remember that the Sugar Hollow pipeline, which currently feeds Ragged Mountain,
is all busticated.
It's nearing the end of its useful life, which, yeah, is a phrase that engineers might use. And that will need to be replaced.
I would say busticated.
Busticated, I like that.
that's the word I would use.
You can add that to Sevopedia.
There you go. Sean Tubbs is with Charlottesville Tomorrow. We'll also have Julia Glendenning live in studio. We're getting our Tuesday growth and development update. We do it every Tuesday afternoon from 5 to 6. All the latest information about growth and development issues here throughout Central Virginia. Let me ask you real quick to tell us more about the issue that is on the agenda tomorrow regarding developers and dirt.
Yes. I have actually, Julia was doing some research on that earlier, but I can, and we're still recovering from yesterday's story, which was this dredging story.
Yeah.
But in prepping for that story, I think that this is something that the Southern Environmental Law Center and other environmental groups have been asking for. Certain developers, I'm not going to name who at this particular moment, have left a lot of their, there's no requirement in the county necessarily for them to, or there's no firm requirement for them to place vegetation on their properties, yeah, once they've graded them.
So you could go in and create a moonscape.
Yes.
Like they did, certain developer, Wendell Wood perhaps, did up in around the new Target on 29 North, the Hollywood Town Center, just totally moonscaped it, cut all the trees down. It was all dirt and mud, and all that dirt and silt ran into Lake Hollymead, right?
It goes downstream. So the ordinance tomorrow will place a 9-month deadline through which the developers will be required, if this passes, will be required to place trees, bushes, grass, anything to keep that sediment from going. Silt fences, yeah, perhaps.
So you still cut it down, but you got to plant grass there after 9 months. You can't just leave it all dirt.
Yes.
Forever.
Yes, because the idea is to just to protect what happens downstream. And so that is tomorrow, I believe, at 11 o'clock is what's on the schedule. But
okay,
knowing what I know about the Board of Supervisors, don't count on that time.
Don't count. So earlier or later?
Probably later.
Later.
Yeah, I would say later on that one.
Those agenda times are ballparks.
Yes.
What's the latest on industrial zoning in Charlottesville? What's this?
Last week, the Planning Commission had a work session in which they discussed the idea of what is the future of Charlottesville's industrial zones. There's a handful of them across the town, including the Woolen Mills neighborhood. And the issue here is that some of the residents of those neighborhoods would like to preemptively do something with that zoning, because a lot of it is either at the end of its useful life in terms of like in the Woolen Mills, for instance, there's a big auto scrap yard there. That land is zoned industrial. Well,
and
what
they have
happens?
The animals down there, too, right?
There's a stockyard.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That land, a developer could potentially come in with a business and put some form of manufacturing in there, probably not very likely.
But it's still zoned for that.
It's still zoned for that. And the city's economic development department recommended that let's leave that land alone for a little while, wait for these rezonings and applications to come through. But the neighborhood doesn't want some of the neighborhood would prefer not to be living next door to some new factory. Now, the chances of that happening, who knows what they are, but
as long as it's zoned for that,
as long
it
as
could
it's zoned
happen.
For that, and it's about 3.5% of the city's land is zoned industrial, and these are, for instance, just up here on Harris Road, there's a tiny parcel next to the university on the southern side of the railroad. These areas where the zoning is one thing, there could be another reason.
Yeah.
But so that was a work session. There was no decision necessarily made there. The Planning Commission sort of decided that there's two vacancies right now. Let's wait for the new folks to come on and decide whether or not this is a priority for us. because planning commissioners Sherry Lewis and Mike Ferrugio are both leaving the commission.
Are they really?
They are. They are.
Oh, that's a loss.
This is their last month. So their last meeting, I believe Sherry Lewis has had her first meeting, but Mr. Ferrugio, his last meeting will be next Tuesday.
Oh, but that's a real loss for the community. Those two folks are really great public servants, both of them. So there's a potential that these land, this little bit of land in the city could actually be rezoned away from industrial.
To mixed use or something like that. I believe that in some of those cases, now, of course, now that is, that factors into all sorts of ideas. Is that land, is the infrastructure in place there for that land to be zoned for that type of use?
Right.
Heavy industrial, so for instance, water. Heavy industrial does use a lot of water. Residential customers use a lot of water. So is the capacity there for that? And these are questions that we don't necessarily know the answers to, but as those areas redevelop and rezone, that would certainly be one of the things that we look at.
We're talking with Sean Tubbs and Julia Glendenning from Charlottesville tomorrow for our Tuesday Growth and Development Update. And before we let you go, tell us about Places 29. What's the very latest?
Places 29,
which is the master plan for 29 North.
Yes, this is the master plan for 29 North. It's one of those things where a lot of people often say that there's no planning going on. Well, that there is planning going on, but it just happens in these master plans, which sometimes take a long time. They fade away from the public recognition. Places 29 this time around is almost through the Planning Commission. Then it will go to the Board of Supervisors. There's a lot of transportation elements in there, but the idea is to basically recraft the entire 29 corridor from hydraulic all the way up to the Greene County line, to prepare it for just essentially the creation of a new town and city in some ways, because the idea is to concentrate the county's development in that area so that it doesn't lead out into the
so they protect the rural areas.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's going to mean a lot of changes to it. I mean, you got to make it more walkable. You got to make it easier for the cars at the same time.
Yeah. And a lot of those plans are going forward, whether or not Places 29 is ever adopted. A lot of the different transportation projects, sidewalk improvements will go in some capacity. The idea of master planning, though, is ensuring that it's there. And it's sort of an interesting process because it doesn't necessarily always work out as planned, but without a plan, it doesn't work out at all.
There you go. So you gotta plan the work and work the plan.
Something like that.
Sean Tubbs is with Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at seavilletomorrow.org. And we want to thank Julia Glendenning as well, the summer intern at Charlottesville Tomorrow. Good luck in your fourth year at the University of Virginia.
Thank you.
Yeah, and thank you for everything that y'all have done today. We appreciate the update. We're going to break for CBS News, local news, and weather. When we get back, it's Best Seat in the House right here on News Radio 1070 WINA. Y'all have a great night.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SeavillePodcast.com for more.